And so I put forward a plan to bring down our individual income tax rates by 10% across the board. It would be phased in over 3 years. We could still increase funding for core government functions like law enforcement and transportation and education.
How do you invest more while having less come into the coffers?
We're projecting $3.4 billion in increased revenue over the course of the next 5 years. Even with anemic economic growth, you get increased revenue. And so by setting aside $2 billion for increased spending on core government functions like law enforcement, transportation, education, healthcare, we can still allow for hardworking Virginians to keep more of their income to spend as they see fit. But we can do both. We can increase spending on core government functions and at the same time bring down tax rates across the board. Our tax rates were set in 1972.
So in addition to lowering taxes, what else needs to happen in Richmond to help people who are unemployed or underemployed get back to work and start paying those taxes again?
Well, in addition to those to that tax relief, we also need to reform our regulatory processes. We're a very onerously regulated state, in particular when it comes to occupational licenses.
And what's an occupational license? How does it affect a small business?
Well, an occupational license, for example, a barber. To be a barber in the Commonwealth of Virginia, you have to complete 1,500 hours of state-required training, 9 months of training to become a barber and pay a fee to get a state license. I want my dentist to have a state license, but these occupational licenses are barriers to entry. They are excessive in many cases and unnecessary in some, and I'm for tearing down barriers to entry to make it easier for people to enter the marketplace and to provide for competition. And that would help small business owners in particular.
So pivoting away from the economy, I want to talk a little bit about healthcare. According to the Virginia Healthcare Association, there are almost 900,000 uninsured Virginians. Virginia lawmakers have made it clear that they don't think expanding Medicaid is the best way to help those individuals. How would you go about providing relief to uninsured Virginians?
We need to make access to healthcare more affordable for more Virginians. And I don't believe that expanding Medicaid in the Commonwealth is the right approach in that regard. When you look at other states that have done that, the cost has gone up much faster than they projected. That's almost inevitably the case. But we do need more competition to help bring down costs. And one of the things that we can do is to encourage more competition in the insurance market. And one of the ways that we can do that is to allow for competition across state lines.
My understanding is that's something that has to happen on the federal level. Is that something that as governor of Virginia you could help play a part in?
Absolutely, it is. You can also have an interstate compact. You could have an agreement between the Commonwealth of Virginia and the state of Kentucky. Actually, Kentucky is a Commonwealth too. And the state of Tennessee could all agree that we're going to allow for competition amongst ourselves. Now, Congress would have to ratify that interstate compact. But if states reach an interstate compact, Congress ordinarily will ratify those. But that would allow us, you don't have to wait for it to take place nationally with all 50 states. We could do it among our neighboring states and reach an agreement in that regard, and that would help to increase competition.
The healthcare bill that recently passed in Congress, as it currently stands, it would allow states to request waivers from Congress to exempt their health insurance companies from certain requirements, things like covering pre-existing conditions. If you were governor of Virginia, would you consider that process?
I don't think insurers should be allowed to drop people for having a pre-existing condition. But this process in Washington has a very long way to go. And it's been made clear, I think, if you can believe the coverage, that the Senate is starting from scratch on their bill. But I don't believe that insurers should be allowed to, drop people with a condition, we need to protect consumers in the marketplace in that regard.
Just last month, McAuliffe proposed essentially what is a cap and trade plan for the state. If governor, would you continue to support that?
The EPA announces they're going to roll back the Clean Power Plan and provide some relief, some much needed relief to our fellow Virginians in Southwest Virginia. And our governor then comes in right after that, just as they're about to catch their breath and says, nope, we're going to impose it now at a state level. I think it's very bad policy in terms of trying to foster economic growth. Higher energy prices will not help us do that. And in Southwest Virginia, it would have a devastating effect in coal country.
So I think the flip side, McAuliffe and the Democrats running for office would say coal is on its way out anyway. This only encourages further growth in other energy sectors, which could create new jobs in Southwest Virginia.
Well, I would rather allow for the marketplace to work its way out. There are some alternative uses for coal that gives people hope in Southwest Virginia for good reason. And the notion that we as a, you know, our state government is going to kind of add insult to injury to those coal miners and their families and the small businesses and frankly, the school districts that rely on them in Southwest Virginia, I just find to be offensive. And, you know, we can, do a lot to make sure that we're working to have cleaner air and cleaner water. I don't know anybody who does not want that. But to impose a statewide system of cap and trade and a clean power plan, Obama-like approach at the state level when other surrounding states are not going to adopt it doesn't make sense to me.
Now, you have an opponent, Corey Stewart, who's been criticized for the way that he's made Confederate monuments in the state a central part of his platform. Do you have a position on whether monuments should stay where they are or be taken away?
I don't believe we should remove historical statues in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I do believe that's important. I don't believe, as one of my opponents does, that it is the most significant problem facing the Commonwealth today.
Big picture question. Our current governor, a Democrat, has been criticized for the number of vetoes he's signed. What can Virginians expect should a Republican be in the office?
I would work with our assembly to make sure that we were getting bills enacted. And, you know, you've got a 4-year governorship. There's not much time to waste. And so I've already been working with leaders in the General Assembly, and I have a majority of Republicans in our House of Delegates and in our state Senate who've publicly endorsed me. They're working with me, as well as people from all across the Commonwealth on the ideas that we need to get Virginia moving again. And by having as co-chairs a member of our House of Delegates and our state Senate for all of my policy development working groups, and I have 9 different policy development working groups, I've been able to get them involved from the outset so that when we win, which I intend to do in June and November, we'll be able to hit the ground running and be able to govern effectively starting in 2018.